Morning's meeting together. Today is April 3rd, 2014. This morning we have on our agenda the Board of Licensing, the massage therapists, and the bear license plate. The controlled substance prescription drug database has been pulled from this morning's agenda. We will start with the Board of Licensing and Massage Therapists. Representative Nagia.
Good morning. Chairman Newman, for the record, I'm Representative Benny Narell. I'm here to ask for your support for the committee substitute House Bill 328. House Bill 328 establishes a board of massage therapists and provides regulation for certification. Additionally, the bill seeks to provide ethics standards, accountability, business development, grievance processes, and greater access to therapy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your permission, I'd like to introduce my staff, Mayor Aparezak Sasha, to present additional information and help answer questions.
Thank you. Now we've got some members here, but we have members present. Representative Munoz, Holmes, Guttenberg, Costello, Newman, Wilson, Edgman, and Thompson.
Thank you, Representative Nariak. Chairman Newman, for the record, I am Mary Aparezak Sasha, Staff Representative Nariak. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for taking the time to hear House Bill 328. Alaska is one of six states not regulating massage therapy. This is a matter of professionalism and, more importantly, public safety. I'd like to point you to the map in your packet. Regrettably, it shows Alaska at the southwest corner of the contiguous states. And as mentioned in a previous committee, smaller than Texas. But also regrettable is that it shows us behind the curve of regulation in this sector of healthcare. Regulation allows consumers to self-educate the expected standard of care and appropriate therapy for individual care. Furthermore, this bill endorses small business development by allowing a therapist to become an in-network provider and gives them the freedom to directly bill insurance versus working through chiropractor, physical therapist, or physician offices. This is especially important in light of the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, where, as a result, therapists may enjoy an increase in demand. Regulation may be a nuisance in business, but it is expected. In the fall of 2013, Forbes graded the states in the friendliness of their legal and regulatory frameworks in business. And Alaska is ranked 37th of 50 in business friendliness. Part of this standing is the state's regulatory environment. In this category, Alaska is ranked 44th of 50. Both of these numbers are unfortunate. This bill encourages greater professional opportunities for therapists. The massage therapy profession is growing, an estimated rate of 120 therapists a year. The time is now to create clear industry standards for the health and safety of Alaskans. 84% of surveyed respondents in the massage therapy field support state licensure. Again, we ask your support of this basic and essential legislation to raise the massage therapy standard in the state of Alaska. Thank you, Chairman and committee members. And if you'd like, I can explain the changes between the original version and the CS.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Representative Wilson, did you have a question first?
Yeah, I do, Mr. Chairman. So how does now regulating this make us more business friendly?
With the licensure, they can bill directly versus going through an office, so they can have their own business.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ms. Losh, if you could explain the changes that have been made through the process.
Mr. Chair, of course. Change one adds a board-approved apprenticeship program. Change 2 tightens exemption language for structural integrators and rolfers. Change, the first change is on page 3, line 28. And change 3, page 8, lines 1 through 8, combines the exemptions to define a category of exempted practices, not naming individual modalities. Change 4 on page 3 and 4, lines 24 and 18, respectively, the department recommended that we change the word board to department for application processing. And in the transition language, we waived the 500 hours of education for therapists to be grandfathered in if they meet the outlined requirements.
Now, excuse me, make an assumption here that you've worked with the prior committees and the administration on the changes and agree with them?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Munoz.
Thank you, Representative Nagaya. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you working with the massage therapists to incorporate the apprenticeship language. And if you could go over that section with me, I would appreciate it, please.
Okay. You mean the 500 hours one?
No. Hold on.
No.
28. Okay. Over here.
The apprenticeship program, that was the issue that we met on earlier. And I just wanted to know where it's incorporated.
Oh. Through the chair, Representative Munoz, page 3, line 28.
Oh, I see. Okay, good. There it is. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I'm glad to see the bill moving. I know you've all worked very hard, and there's been a lot of support to see this put into law. And I'm glad that it looks like it's going to get through the process.
Thank you.
I hope. Thank you.
Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I as well appreciate this bill coming forward, and I view it as a pro-business bill. Albeit a small business, primarily it appears. But just a couple of questions to add to the dialogue. It was mentioned having to serve 500 hours in terms of getting being able to qualify for the license, I think you mentioned. But how does a therapist actually do that 500 hours without being licensed?
Are you talking about, through the chair, Representative Edgman, to clarify or restate your question, are you talking about the waived 500 hours for the transition language or the...
Through the chair, not the grandfathering in portion, but if somebody comes off the street and wants to become a licensed massage therapist, do they not have to go through a 500-hour sort of apprenticeship? Is that correct? And I was just curious as to how you actually do that if you weren't licensed.
Through the chair... Representative Edgman, I will answer it as to the best of my knowledge, and then perhaps a therapist can further explain. But there's board-approved massage schools that they could attend. We don't have any at the state at this moment, so they would have to travel out of state for the 500 hours.
And then as a follow-up, might that be one of the sort of ancillary benefits of this bill is that we would get a school established here in Alaska? Has that come up at all during the dialogue on the bill?
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, I don't know that we have the demand for a school at this time, but it's definitely a possibility for the future. And I know we do bring folks up from the lower 48 to teach short-term classes.
Okay, and I think I'm queuing up a number of questions that maybe some of the public testimony will respond to. But my last question, Mr. Chair, would be on the actual fees that are listed in the bills, in the bill itself. Is that to be determined by the department? I mean, obviously, this program isn't in place yet, so I assume that's just sort of language that's in the bill that would be set in motion later on.
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, I will pass that question on to our illustrious director, Sarah Chambers. She will answer fiscal note questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Edgman. But I like the way your questioning was going because I know in Galena they have a hairdressing program there where you can get a licensed hairdresser. So it's some of the rural learning centers, regional learning centers, the ability to do those types of programs. Possibly one like this would be a good opportunity in rural Alaska. Mm-hmm. Representative Gutberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, many times we just don't realize that we go to somebody, we don't realize they don't have a license, there's no authority, that somebody's just hung a shingle, really don't know who they are in the end. So putting up, putting this group into board is very good. But my question is, with the membership of the board, four members who are massage therapists and one from the public who's not engaged, is that a standard practice in with other boards? Because it seems like there's usually a more of a balance between public and occupational people on the board.
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, I believe they wanted one at-large member. This is a small board of five. Mm-hmm. So it would be heavy in massage therapists, but for the sake of getting more therapists the opportunity to be board members.
Okay. Thank you. And as mentioned, we do have Sarah Chambers here from off-license, so she'll come up and talk to us later, because this is a new board, and a little bit of the direction on how that's done and the fiscal how it's done. First, I'd like to wait. We have just a couple of people and a couple of the LIOs. I always like to make sure we take care of the public and let them testify when they can, and they're out there waiting to go work. Go to Matsu LIO. We have Jill Motz. Is Jill Motz available at the Matsu LIO?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Jill. Name and affiliation.
My name is Jill Motz. I am a licensed massage therapist both in the Valley and in Eagle River. I'm also a board member for the American Massage Therapy Association here in Alaska.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to thank you for your time and hearing this House Bill 328. I'm a massage therapist. I work for a physical therapy clinic here in the Matsu area, and I also own a small business in the Eagle River area. I'm in support of House Bill 328 for several different reasons. I believe it's that the public is entitled to a basic level of safety, and this bill will provide them with that. It will also further the profession in several different ways, offering us a standard of education and a seat at the table in this sort of ever-evolving practice of medicine. As a therapist that practices in more than one borough, I'm looking forward to the change in fee structures. The cost of $230 every 2 years, which is what the proposed licensing amount has been decided it would likely be from the fiscal note committee, is that cost is actually less expensive to me than the way things are structured now. So currently, for the municipality of Anchorage, I pay $100 a year for my license through the city clerk. I pay $20 a year for my background check. And then I pay a $25 practitioner's fee in the Valley in order to practice massage therapy. So grand total over a two-year period, this state licensing would save me roughly $155 over those 2 years. So, no, I'm sorry, it's $155. It would save me roughly $80 every 2 years. So I don't believe that the proposed cost will be burdensome for a therapist. I thank you for your time, and I'm asking that you pass this bill out of committee.
Thank you, Ms. Maltz. Any questions for Ms. Maltz? Thank you. Is there anyone else in the Wausau LIO?
No. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Anchorage LIO. Amanda Unser.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Amanda Unser. I am the chair for the Alaska Massage Therapy Licensing Coalition and serve on the American Massage Therapy Association Alaska chapter as the first vice president in charge of legislation. Our coalition formed in 2012, and the purpose of the coalition was to find out if Alaska massage therapists were ready for licensure and if they were what they wanted to see in their bill. We had several discussions over the language, and the result was House Bill 328 that's in front of you today. We have great support from other professions including the chiropractic board, which you can see a letter of support from them. I just want to clarify really quick through the chair, Representative Edgemond, on the 500 hours. We do have two schools currently in Anchorage that are 500-hour nationally approved programs, but there's definitely a need for that to spread throughout the state. And in enacting this bill, I think will promote a lot of that business growth. Thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, I'm open.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Unser? Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Ms. Unser. Is that your name? I'm sorry.
Unser.
Yes. Unser, thank you. And you're ahead of the coalition of therapists organizing behind this effort.
Yes, I am.
So I just want to ask you if you're aware that sometimes there's responsibilities that aren't anticipated with these boards. Have you been?
Yes.
Have you talked to other people about those things?
We have. We've talked to several other boards, and some of those responsibilities that may or may not come up as we proceed. And I feel that therapists are ready for this act to take place, and we're ready to take on governing our profession.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Guttenberg, for the careful what you asked for. You might get advice. Volker Rugby?
Yes, it's Volker Ruby.
Go ahead.
And thank you, Chairman and Committee. So my name is Volker Ruby, and I'm a constituent of Mia Costello, by the way. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, and I have been a massage therapist for over 9 years. I'm the treasurer of the Alaska chapter of the American Massage Therapy Association, and I'm also representing myself. So a majority of the over 600 massage therapists in Alaska already pay fees to practice massage, and these are municipal fees in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Valdez, and Palmer. So if a massage therapist needed to practice massage in more than one of these municipalities, they would currently be required to pay fees in each. Having a state license for massage not only gives massage therapists the freedom to practice anywhere in Alaska, but would likely be less expensive than what many massage therapists already pay. Health Bill 328 has overwhelming support from the massage therapists in Alaska, and since the proposed state license would be entirely funded by the therapists themselves, there are no financial burdens for the state or local governments in Alaska. Having a state license for massage sets a standard. It protects and benefits the public and gives massage therapists in Alaska the opportunities given by the 44 states that already have a state license. Please help me and the 600 massage therapists in Alaska pass HB 23 out of committee.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Ruby? Thank you, Mr. Ruby. Anyone else in the LIOs? Hearing none. We will go. Looks like we have some in the Finance Committee here. Diane Kelsey. Kaiser.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, committee members. Mr. Chairman and committee members, thank you for hearing my testimony of House Bill 328. An act establishing the Board of Massage Therapists relating to the licensing of massage therapists and providing for an effective date. I am the proprietor of Artemis Enterprise, a massage therapy practice in Juneau, Alaska. I've been in business for the last 20 years, paying my Alaska State business license fees and Juneau City sales tax. I'm a member of the Associated Body, works in massage professionals, and pay yearly massage professional liability insurance, which requires at least 500 hours of in-class supervised instruction. During my years in practice, I have contracted to Pearson Spahn, the University of Alaska, the Juneau School District, and donated massages to cancer relay races. All require a business license and liability insurance for a contractual agreement. I also work at Arctic Chiropractic in Juneau, Alaska, and the Alaska Club as a staff massage therapist. At the Alaska Club in 2012, I was asked to set up the massage therapy program in both the downtown and the valley clubs. This included designing the massage space, writing the job descriptions, policies and procedures, training the front desk staff for booking massage appointments, and interviewing massage therapists, which included checking their educational training. I aim for the passage of House Bill 328 because the educational requirement of this act sets a standard of Education for Massage Therapists to Practice in the State of Alaska. And on page 3, starting in line 22, it reads, qualifications for license furnishes evidence satisfactory to the board that the person has completed a course study of at least 500 hours. When HB 328 is passed, it will allow the Alaska Board of Massage Therapists to set the continuing educational requirements training needed for massage therapists. The cost of conducting a business under massage professional licensing board is small, at the rate of $75 per massage, 3 massages per year would pay for my yearly licensing fees. As a business owner, my business expenses can be deducted. I believe these educational standards required by this act will provide consumers of massage therapy in Alaska with massage therapists who have been educated in safe massage therapy modalities. The continuing education requirements that will be established by the board this act creates will provide the state of Alaska with massage therapists who practice with updated knowledge that is contributing to the well-being of those who receive massage therapy in Alaska. I thank you for your time and consideration that you've given me to testify, and I respectfully request that you pass this bill out of committee. And again, please excuse my nervousness. This is my first time ever getting this close to government and interacting with it.
We're just people too.
Quote of the year.
Your services could probably be used in this building quite a bit about this.
Well, I have to say, after I leave here, I am actually doing community outreach for Arctic Chiropractic for the Job Center and the staff of the State of Alaska. So I am helping the State of Alaska today.
Community outreach in the hall.
So that means chair massages to all the employees of the State of Alaska and the Job Center.
We'll get some mobile massage therapy. Representative Guttenberg and Wilson. Welcome, Representative Garrett.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming, and thank you for your testimony. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid to go into a massage therapist, too.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I understand completely. And I'm very big on educating first-time clients on the procedure of massage therapy, how to be a good consumer of massage therapy, and what to expect from the session, and to recognize things that aren't healthy. So, for instance, someone goes too deep on you. You do have the right to say, that's too deep. Could you go lighter, please? And many first-time consumers aren't aware of that. So that's a very good point. Thank you for pointing that out. That was through the chair and through Representative Guttenberg. Oops.
She must have read the booklet that's in the building, how to conduct business here, but you've done very good. I have a practical question. You know, very often we have abstract ideas, but for me, it's bringing things down to hands-on.
Pardon
about what's going to change. Oh, very. Yeah, I hadn't even realized that. Yeah. Right now, you can't bill directly. You have to have a third party.
That's correct.
Is that correct? So when this changes, you're going to be able to bill directly.
But if I choose to, that's correct.
If you choose to, right. Mm-hmm. Are clients going to need a referral, or can they just be walk-in?
For any massage therapy from a doctor, any massage therapy, let me rephrase that, through the chair to Representative Guttenberg, my understanding is this, in that right now, if you need a massage, you can go out and get one from a massage therapist, but you can't bill your insurance. In order for insurance to pay a massage therapist, they have to have a professional licensing board, and then they have to have a referral, I believe, from either an MD or a DC. That's my understanding at the moment. I will defer to Amanda, who's online in the chair, and she can maybe further clarify that. But that's my current understanding. I hope that answers your question through the chair, Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. Well, I'm establishing you as an expert witness because you've been in the business in obviously a lot of different capacities, and so thank you.
Through the chair and Representative Guttenberg, I have to say, as a massage therapist, I'm not one that will take advantage of being able to bill insurance. I hate paperwork. No offense. But there are many massage therapists, including Amanda, who's online, came from a state where you were allowed to bill insurance because there was a professional licensing board. So by passing this bill through the committee and passing it completely, you give the option for massage therapists to choose whether he or she wants to bill insurance.
Thank you.
And my suspect is the board would set that up so that that could be done. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to clarify, so you were speaking about how much this was going to cost you in addition, because now the board will have a fee that will be determined by the actual cost of having the board and maybe any investigations. So I guess my question is, do you know that fee can change and can go up? We've had that issue with other boards. So it's not necessarily a set fee like your business license is.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I understand that completely. I actually have served on as a medical licensing board assistant, and I've had first-time experience about that process, and I understand the fees can go up or down depending on what occurs if there's litigation within the, that the professional board has to deal with. So, yes, I do understand that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, ma'am. You did well. Any other questions?
Oh, Mr. Chair, just briefly. I just want to apologize. I know there are a lot of people here. I just want to apologize that I had conflicting things to do, but and I thought I was a co-sponsor. I am now, but I meant to be. So, thanks.
Thank you, all of you, through the chair, to all the representatives for your time to listening to me. And again, thank you for your understanding regarding my nervousness interacting with the government.
Thank you, ma'am. Victoria Dance.
Massaging with legislation.
Okay, you're the government. You're the government.
I'm a guy from Big Lake. Ms. Dance.
Chairman Newman. And members of the board, thank you so much for being here. I'm in the long line of people who are nervous. And for the record, my name is Victoria Dance, a massage therapist licensed in the state of Arizona since 1984, when I also became a member of the AMTA. I've been working as a massage therapist in a medical clinic in Juneau for the last 6 years, and I and several other therapists, many who are small business owners here in Juneau, oppose HB 328 only in its form now, because we are all for state licensing. We just like to see a good law go through. And believe me, after 30 years of being a massage therapist, this field has grown immensely. And I've been working on it for 30 years. So some of my issues are that the 500-hour standard is an arbitrary standard. I've talked to National AMTA in Chicago, and they've confirmed that it was a figure that when relaxation massage was all that was happening, they sort of decided that that was a good number. But the only data that we have is on competency is from a two-year study called the Entry Level Analysis Project, which AMT actually funded. And that has come up with a competency number of 625. So the hours, I think, could be increased, and there's some other issues. I think I'd like to speak to some of the things that have been said. If this bill passes, the therapist will not be able to bill insurance directly. So that's a little bit of misinformation, and Mr. Hester testified to that in the House in the Labor and Commerce meeting the other week, and he says, and he is Deputy Director of Division of Insurance, it's very difficult to understand insurance speak, so I will be happy to provide you with a transcript of his testimony on that day, but he wanted to be clear that this bill would not do that. So massage therapists are small business owners right now. They just wouldn't be able to add that to their ability to make money. Oh, I'm not a paper person. Okay. The other thing is about fees. There's been a lot of figures of fees that have been floating around, and I have an email from Don Haberger, I hope I pronounced that right, and he says that the fee would be approximately $550 per license. So And, of course, it can go up and down, which you've already mentioned. This $550 fee is different than what the AMTA, than what the coalition has been saying, so there's a little bit of confusion about that. And I certainly asked for a lot of information and about how that how the figures came about for the fiscal note. This $550 is more than a doctor pays, and they have four times or five times the income that we have. So that's why I think it's a burden. So it would cost them more than what municipalities are paying now. There are, notice that Alaska on this sheet is in proper dimension. But these are the six states, and I might add California has only a voluntary certification process there, and then they are municipally, they have ordinances. So that's a little misinformation too there of how many states license through municipalities. So municipalities are doing it very cost effectively now and efficiently. So I'm not sure if the state law is needed to regulate this. They have the same sort of education requirements, these low 500 hours. So if there was a 625 hours, that would at least distinguish between a municipal ordinance and the law now. So this thing about how much it's going to cost us and setting up a new board and our vulnerability to the licensing fees going up is very important because this was based on the social worker model, because numbers, I think, of how many therapists. And but put it delicately, there's no such a thing as a social worker parlor. So we happen to be vulnerable to investigations in that area. And that really concerns me. I was given some misinformation that there was sort of a firewall between investigations and costs on the board, which just isn't true when I looked into that. I'm wondering if when there is so many other boards that are in deficit right now and have been for some time, it makes me scared to go into a license situation that's being said that it's going to be $550 with the possibility of an increased deficit and the vulnerability of investigations making it go up even farther. So, and if I look at the fiscal note, I'm even more confused. I must commend your state employees. They the illustrious here in Chambers stayed up late last night and answered my emails, and I really appreciate that. I was referred to I got a link to answer my questions to, which was a 40-page report, so I stayed up late too. And the numbers from that report, I couldn't quite understand them. Again, I'm new to this area, but it seemed to me that when I looked at these figures,
we can have Ms. Chambers go through that with
us. Oh, thank you. Okay. So then, I just want to say that when they keep talking about overwhelming support, in a day and a half, I was able to get 22 signatures saying that we oppose this because it's not. We want the law. We want a good law. We want to wait for a good law. But this won't advance the profession. It doesn't have anything in there that we're like healthcare providers. It doesn't allow us insurance. The hours are lower than what the data says competency is for a massage therapist. All the massage therapists in this room are superbly qualified. They didn't necessarily go to a 625-hour program. Through continuing education, they have gotten to that point. But 10 years ago, what the standards were for competency when we were just doing relaxation massage is different than what it is now when the capability of doing medical massage has come into the profession. And that's why the hours should be greater. So 40% of the AMTA survey participants support the bill. only if it's done right. And this is out of 43 people who were surveyed, so it's not a big survey number, but out of that 43 people, 40% said only if it's done right. So that's all I want is for this to be done right. And I certainly thank you, Chairman and committee members, for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you. Questions. We'll ask Ms. Chambers, somebody who's worked a little bit around these different boards and stuff, how they generally work and how, if there is recommendations to the board process and how they go about accepting those recommendations and advance those.
So, Mr. Chairman, would she possibly be able to show how the figures were arrived at? I think in one of her emails she mentioned that it was based on the last 6 years. And I'm just wondering if the deficits have this trajectory of increasing so much, what has been done to project future rather than base it on an average of a past, which wouldn't show a trajectory?
I think you just asked her the question, so we'll ask her to respond.
Oh, okay. Smart. Again,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Dance, I don't think it's our job, nor are we capable of coming up with a perfect model for a new board. You know, that's why we set up these boards, so they can manage themselves. When we put in 500 hours, that's the board can set higher standards if it want, can't go below that. But we're, I can't imagine us, this legislative body, being able to come up with a perfect bill that everybody would like to focus on what it is. My impression of what we do is we set up an optimum model and give it to you and go manage your occupation. I think that's, out of those 40 people and the 11 of us, we probably wouldn't agree on exactly what it should be. You don't want us micromanaging what a perfect board is. So what we say is, here's a model. You know, we've tinkered with it, you've tinkered with it, people have input. Now go forth and manage your occupation and come back with changes or recommendations or adopt regs. And, you know, I think all that's for the public good, for the occupation's good. But, a perfect bill is something that most of us agree we hardly ever see.
Through the chair, Representative Gutenberg, thank you very much. You know, one of the things that's always impressed me about Alaska is their constitution and how they were able to look at all the other constitutions of the states and take the best and make something very special. And I think that's kind of what has inspired me, that the mistakes that were made in creating laws in the lower 48 when the first lobbying for laws started, the mistakes were made. About 14, a third of the states down south have increased their hours. And then some haven't. They're still stuck at that, and mostly the reason is because it costs a lot of money to go back to the legislature and ask for an increase in hours. So then their suggestion could be, what's not in the bill right now is something that says that the board could raise the hours by rule, and that would save the state a lot of money in having to come back. So that's been one of the problems down south.
Need our permission.
Who doesn't need, I'm sorry, doesn't need those words need to be in the law for the board to be able to raise the hours without coming back to the legislature?
And we'll have,
through, I'm sorry, through the chair.
We'll ask that, ask Ms. Chambers to address that and how they generally do that.
Thank you.
Representative Edgman, did you have a question?
I did, thank you. I'm just looking at the bill packet here. There seems to be pretty widespread support for this legislation. At the same time, I appreciate your comments because I think, at least I take them as constructive criticism. So my first question, Mr. Chairman, would be to ask, you referenced Arizona being in your past professional life. Is that experience largely driving your comments, or have you been in Alaska for a long period of time and you're basing what you're, you know, what you're saying about the bill and your experience in Alaska largely?
I haven't seen, in Arizona, we had a model law governed by the municipality of requiring 1,200 hours, and I'm not asking for that. So that's not driving it.
Oh, Mr. Chair, my question was...
I'm sorry.
How long have you been practicing Alaska?
30. I've been practicing Alaska 6 years.
6 years.
I've been practicing as a massage therapist for 30 years. Does that answer your question? I have nothing to gain by this because I'm about to retire. And
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your comments.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to undercut what you're saying. And I guess my other question would be, you mentioned medical health care provider, and it did sort of jump out on me on page 2 of the bill that the one public member on the board could not be a licensed health care provider, if I'm reading that correctly. And looking at the letters of support in the bill packet, there are some from chiropractors, and I don't know if a chiropractor is considered a licensed health care provider or not. I see a nod of the head. They are, apparently.
We have the director of licensing here, so you can tell us.
Oh, okay. But so my question, if I could, to the testifier, because she has been, a lot of her comments have been quite insightful, should there be a licensed health care provider on the board, in your opinion?
Absolutely, especially if we want to move the profession towards doing medical massage, which is where it's going, and being allowed to bill directly. My comment was that massage therapists, in some state statutes, they say massage, in the definitions, they say massage therapy is deemed a health care provider. So that's key in moving. If this bill wants to promote our profession, that would be very important to put in, because that moves us into an area where we could receive insurance at some point. I asked a physician here in town if they thought the medical board would be opposed to that, and she felt like no, because they're really not in that area. So, and I asked a person involved in nursing lobbying, and they didn't think that. Was it nursing? I'm sorry. I'll go back on that. Physical therapy. So now physical therapy would be the one that might be opposed to that.
Thank you.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm not sure whether or not we just need somebody, the second person who's come up and talked about municipal ordinance. I honestly don't know what the municipalities, whether they match now. So I don't know whether we need somebody to come and tell us what the municipalities do and how this changes what there is. And so both, one said it was good that we're going to go to the state because they don't want to do the municipal. Now we have the next person saying the opposite. And I don't know why the municipalities can't do this and we need this. So I'm not sure who could answer that question, but I think we need to find the difference.
Maybe our former mayor on municipal code. I think the municipalities have the authority to probably license or not license who they would require in their municipalities.
Very true.
So will they not have, so I guess the question is, will they now be out of this licensing portion, or will this be on top of a municipality, Mr. Former Mayor?
John Thompson, can you help out?
Thank you, through the chair. Right now, they would have both of them to contend with. Once that a community or municipality realizes that it is state-licensed, state-regulated, state-taken care of, they would probably withdraw from theirs because, you know, you can understand why that the cities or municipality got involved. They wanted to make sure it's for the public safety and for the public good, and it isn't taken care of by the state, the municipality will. Once that a state law or state board is established with state regulations and state standards, I'm sure that the cities would back away from that and not have that then.
Thank you. And we have Amanda Unser, the Alaska Massage Therapy Licensing Coalition, has been working on that. I would like to respond, Amanda.
Yes, through the chair. For the record, Amanda Unser, chair of the Alaska Massage Therapy Licensing Coalition.
Could you repeat the question that you're going to respond to?
Yes, thank you.
I guess whether Representative Wilson.
I'm just trying to figure out whether or not the municipalities, first of all, I don't know how they monitor this now, how they regulate it. But first of all, do you know that for sure that municipalities will give it up and this will be just state? Or will we now have municipal and state? And what will this allow therapists to be able to do that they can't now, since we just heard that maybe insurance isn't part of this?
Yes. I'll clarify two things for you real quick. First, the insurance issue, it depends on the policy. If an insurance company says, yes, a person is allowed massage benefits, then the massage therapist can bill directly. If the insurance company says it needs to be done with a referral, then the massage therapist will have to receive that referral before they can bill directly to the company. I'm licensed in Washington as well, and I've billed insurance there for 6 years, so I'm pretty well versed in that. If you look on the draft, page 9, starting at line 12, read section 7, and it kind of clarifies the licensing of massage therapists in terms of the municipality. So right now, there's Fairbanks, Valdez, Anchorage, and Palmer that regulate, and each one is slightly different in how they regulate. So a state license would make it even across the board. You wouldn't have to change rules or change license from municipality to municipality. It's just one straight across the board. And we also do have in there that once the state sets its standard, then more than likely the municipalities will withdraw.
Thank you, Ms. Unser. Any other questions for Ms. Dance? Thank you, Ms. Dance.
Thank you.
Sarah? Ms. Chambers? Ms. Chambers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You worked for Mr. Harbinger, and you decided to still take this position after you've seen what goes on here?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Sarah Chambers. I am the Director of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, and I did have full disclosure of what that meant going into the position.
Good lady.
So I am happy to have this opportunity to answer the many questions that have been posed. I have been taking notes, but would appreciate anything I've missed to be.
So if you have been taking your notes, kind of just a brief question that you thought you were responding to, and a little bit of an answer to that, if you can. And then Representative Manuski, you have a question first.
Are we ready for questions? Yeah. Okay. How many anticipated licensees do you think would take advantage of this legislation?
Through the chair, Representative Munoz, we have heard approximately 600 licensees may be in the state and have the opportunity to become licensed. Certainly, we don't know who would ultimately wish to become licensed, but that's been the working number.
Okay. So the fiscal note shows about a little under 50,000 for the annual costs going forward, and generally the fiscal note would cover. The revenue coming in, I mean, it would be revenue neutral, hopefully. With 600 licensees, that the per license fee would be substantially less than what was mentioned earlier, the $550 figure. Could you put on the record what you would anticipate an annual fee to be?
Absolutely. Through the chair, Representative Munoz, we have been working on our fiscal notes using the OMB standards that we would propose only the additional appropriation that would be requested in our budget. So it is not the full operating cost of the program. So we are in the narrative of the latest fiscal note, the last paragraph outlines some of the additional costs that we would anticipate based on similar programs, such as the Board of Social Work Examiners, which was mentioned earlier, given various similarities between what is in the law for the Board of Massage Therapists and what happens with the Social Work Examiners. We are given a rough estimate of approximately $550, so anywhere between $500 and $600. Certainly the first biennium could cost more than the out years because the setup costs are higher in the first year. And so given all of the different opportunities for licensing fees to vary, which have been mentioned briefly before, but I'm happy to speak to some of those, that's the estimate we have been working with.
Yes, if we could get some notes here to make sure that we have on the record that you discussed the fiscal aspects and the true costs as a new board coming in and how that affects that, and then also the indirect costs, how they're reflected.
Can I have a follow-up on that? At $500, though, roughly, or $550, isn't that, what, $250,000 plus in revenue? And you're showing a $69,000 the first year and $50,000 in subsequent years?
Through the chair, Representative Munoz, we have only indicated that difference in the requested appropriation, not the full cost of the program.
Okay, and do you anticipate it would be that much more, $250,000 to $300,000?
I don't have that total number in front of me, but if that is the anticipated revenue, then that would be based on the anticipated expenses as dictated in AS 08-06-5, which is our fee setting statute.
Okay, I think 550 is if we have 600 potential licensees, I think that's very high, based on what's potentially showing as a cost to the department. So I think we need more clarity on that point. Then also on the direct billing, is it your impression that the massage therapists will be able to direct bill?
Through the chair, Representative Munoz, that is a division of insurance function, is not a function within our division.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Representative Wilson, did you have a question?
Just one. Is there a sunset date on this, Ford? I'm just looking for it. I couldn't find it.
18.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Holmes?
That's in section 3 on page 2, lines 14 and 15, 14 through 15. It sunsets in June 30th, 2018.
Perfect. Thank you. I just wanted to bring that up because I know with new boards sometimes we're kind of uncertain what it will and won't do. So people will know that it will be coming up shortly for to see if it worked or it didn't work and be able to deal with it at that time. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. It'll also go through this mandatory ledge budget and audit overview. Ms. Chambers, again, could you state on the record here about the fiscal impacts? There's been some costs about that, and the true costs of this board is a new startup board.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to do so.
And also include in there the indirect costs and how they're reflected.
Yes, sir. The example that I mentioned, the Board of Social Work Examiners, is the board that, when we were preparing the fiscal note, gave us the most similarities, similar number of board members, somewhat similar estimated number of licensees. And so we pulled that report from the annual report that our division provides to the legislature, which can be found on our website for the ease of convenience of anyone who may be listening. And we looked at an average over the last 6 years, which is the scope of the report that that we provide to this body. And the social work examiners for the last three bienniums, the licensing period being a biennial period, and I apologize, I have a little bit of laryngitis, so if you can't understand me clearly, please ask for a repetition. The biennial cost for this program was approximately $200,000 for each of the last three biennium. Those costs have increased slightly over those last three licensing periods. The total revenue has been $200,000, and the board has actually varied in expenses slightly above and below that mark. So we are currently in that fee analysis period for this board, and we'll be recommending that the fee is a slightly increase and have been working with the board on that point. The direct expenditures of the board, which includes personal services of staff, travel of the board and staff to support the board, any contractual services such as the Department of Law and the Office of Administrative Hearing, and any of the day-to-day commodities such as computers and postage and things like that are all slightly under $200,000 for this board in the last biennium. Included in those direct costs are the investigative costs for the board. Each board has the responsibility under law to investigate any potential licensing violations, and those investigations are performed through the division, through our investigative unit. The Board of Massage Therapy does include several points that would fall under our normal operations of investigations. So those would be civil investigations. And so if I could just diverge slightly, since we're talking about investigations, and that has been a question that's come up, where the board and the department are required by this act to maintain those standards and enforce those standards, we will do so with our investigative unit, and the board will bear the full cost per licensing fee setting law. The criminal investigations of prostitution, for example, since that's a has been brought up as a relevant crime that hopes to be deterred by this law, would be under the jurisdiction of public safety or the municipal law enforcement bodies. So those are not costs that are incurred by the licensees. However, again, because of the way that the law is written and the fairly typical standards, this is not an unusually structured law. It's very similar to many that are on in operation right now. A prostitution conviction could lead to license action if a licensee was convicted of prostitution. Also, unlicensed action is also within our purview. So those are some examples of some very real possibilities of investigative activity that could be borne by the licensees. So we see in the social workers, there are examples of highs and lows given various investigations. Certainly social workers have the opportunity for personal contact with with their clients. And so with any healthcare provider, those types of investigations could occur. We also have indirect expenditures for each of our programs. And I'm happy to go into more detail about how indirect is allocated and at the chair's discretion. However, it is a cost allocation program that filters down through the department to the division, and I can provide those to the committee if you wish. But that is a cost that is also borne by all of our licensees, because it is an overhead cost of doing business. Lights, desks, human resources, IT support, administrative support. Yes, sir. So those are the models that we've used to estimate the full cost to the licensees, again, because the law requires all of those costs to be borne by the licensees themselves.
Thank you. And then just briefly, Representative Munoz had mentioned some mention of a $500,000 or $550,000 fiscal note. Is that correct, Representative Munoz?
If the fee were $550, that it would generate much more than is shown in this fiscal note, and so I was trying to get at is making sure that the fee matches what the cost is and not more than that.
Ms. Chambers.
Yes, sir. The fiscal note is not the method that's used to determine the full cost to the licensees. I would be happy to write up an analysis that goes into more detail than the narrative in the fiscal note, if that would be assistive to the committee.
I think we'll be okay for today, but if you want to provide that, we'll add it into the packet. It'll probably be good for as it moves down. This is only the second committee of referral. So as we go through the discovery process, it is the legislative process that'll be there. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Prior testifier had said that the $550 is more than the doctors pay to their professional licensing in the state, and I found that kind of like, wow, because they would have more investigations, more problems, it would be more expensive. Can you tell us approximately what the doctors pay for their licensing in the state?
Through the chair, Representative Thompson, I'd be happy to look that up. I did bring my handy binder with all kinds of information. While I'm looking that up, I would like to say that a very, very simplified version of the fee-setting process that we use and have used for a couple of decades now is to take the full cost of the activity that the board incurs, and that is spread across the breadth of the licensees. So a 600-person board would potentially, all other things being equal, have a higher licensing fee than a 2,500-person board, which is more along the lines of where the medical doctors are. If they are all incurring similar operational costs, investigative costs, then those fees would be higher. We have not estimated that the direct cost of the board would be as high as the medical board, in part because the medical board has quite a few more licensees and needs more administrative support. Right now, the medical board licensees pay about $200 a year. A biennium.
Thank you. That clarified it.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. Any other questions?
Scale of numbers.
Sure. Think you'd need an accountant for a wife. Representative Edgman and Gunberg.
So you certainly get the impression as you hear the testimony about this bill, and it's a pretty lengthy bill, that a good part of this bill is defining what is as well as what is not. That picture is beginning to form pretty clear in my mind. But just a question going back to the board again. In order to get licensed, you have to have 500 hours, but in order to be a member of the board, you have to practice for 3 years. And I notice, not to sort of complicate things because we're well past an hour-long massage here as we speak anyway. but there's no confirmation of the board members as well, so maybe if you've already addressed that at a previous committee, you might just touch upon that quickly for us to better understand.
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, are you asking for the details on the confirmation process or how the board members would be confirmed?
Well, it says on page towards the end of the bill here, you have to have 3 years of being licensed in order to be considered for the board. That's page 11. Practice massage therapy in the state for 3 years immediately preceding appointment. Vis-a-vis 500 just to get licensed, which I presume if you can get 500 hours within a year's time. So just a question in terms of clarification.
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, if I understand the question correctly, we would be working with the governor's office of boards and commissions to review the transitional language, which provides for how people would be sort of grandfathered in based on their background. That is a good question. If the governor shall consider a massage therapist to be licensed for the purpose of this act, then we would have to look at the transitional language because there is no licensure at this point and would take 3 years for that to come into effect.
If I could follow, Mr. Chairman, again, going back to the earlier statement about what this bill does and does not do, the ethical component of the bill seems to be pretty solidly stated. I guess the question would be, if the boards of hairdressers and all these other boards and commissions have to go in front of the legislature for confirmation, why this board would not have to undergo the same sort of review?
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, it's my understanding that they would.
They would?
That they would go through the typical confirmation process of the governor's recommended appointees.
Through the legislature?
Joint legislature.
Does it say?
I don't know, but I'm just clarifying. Generally, it's the joint legislature joins to do that.
Mr. Chairman, it is my understanding that this process would be the same.
And then my last question, and I don't think I stated it very well a moment ago, was just to get clarity between someone who gets licensed after 500 hours of approved school and so forth, vis-a-vis somebody who actually gets appointed to the board who has to be practicing for 3 years. And can you explain the difference in those thresholds? Or why is it 3 years before you get on the board? Why couldn't you get licensed after 500 hours and then be a candidate to be on the board?
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, that would probably be an appropriate question for the sponsor of the bill, since we were not involved in that judgment.
Ms. Unser, are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Ms. Unser, Representative Edgman, could you repeat the question?
Yes, the question was why you'd have to be a practicing massage therapist for 3 years versus getting licensed at 500 hours, and why the difference in those lengths of time in order to be a candidate for the board.
Yes. During the coalition meetings, we had several discussions on this. with therapists throughout the state, and they felt that adding the 3 years' experience gives a person or a therapist experience in the field to apply to their seat on the board and really know the demands of the profession and what the profession entails to be able to make more informed decisions on behalf of the board.
And then, Mr. Chair, my final question would be, going back to an earlier question I asked, why wouldn't there be a licensed healthcare professional on the board if, in fact, as we heard just a moment ago, you know, the trend toward lots of therapy is in the therapeutic medicinal end of things? I mean,
is that for Ms. Unser?
Yes, for Ms. Unser.
Do you understand?
Through the chair, the members of the coalition did not want another healthcare provider on the board because they were worried about side interests that they might be voting in a way when it came to making decisions on the board that would benefit their particular profession.
Yeah, thank you, Ms.
Maybe I'll bring that question up later.
So. Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Chambers?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Guttenberg, excuse me.
Thank you. In the qualification for licensing, it says at least 500 hours or a board-certified apprenticeship program. The way I read this, that gives the board the authority to increase the number of hours. It could never lower below 500 hours, but the board, in its wisdom, could say it's got to be 600, 700, 800 hours, or not a program, not hours at all, but you have to go through a an accredited school. Is that the way that you see it?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, it is. It's my interpretation of the bill that the board would have the discretion to increase the number of hours to 500 or above if they felt that was in the best interest of the licensure qualifications.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Chambers?
Thank you,
Ms. Chambers. Is there anybody else in the audience left to testify? Any LIOs? Hearing seen none, we'll close public testimony. We'll bring it back to the committee. I always like to allow the sponsor to respond to any questions or that may have come up in the committee process and by legislators. Would the sponsor like to comment? Any remaining questions for the sponsor? Representative Eric, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You don't have to come up. I'm pretty positive that even though the board language is the governor shall appoint the board, that even though it doesn't say it in the bill, that the legislature gets approval. But would you mind just getting a legal opinion before this gets to the floor? I don't need to hold it here. We'll see the opinion. I'm sure that's the answer. And then the only thing, though, I appreciate the testimony on what the costs are, but there is no additional cost in this bill for prosecution of prostitution. I mean, that would still happen. So whether or not massage therapists are licensed or not, it's going to be the same cost of prosecution. I understand the testifier was trying to give us a comprehensive list of potential costs, but that's not one of them.
I think the sponsor gets that. President Melendez, do you have a question?
In addition to that, could you also get clarity on the direct billing question, if you would?
Okay, if we'll ask the sponsor to make sure they work with the members there before this gets on the floor. Counting people here, we need to have at least six.
Mr. Chair, do you want to go with the fiscal note?
Yeah, let's go over the fiscal note. Representative Wilson, would you like to do that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have one fiscal note dated 4/1/14. OMB component 2360, 2015, $69,800, 2016, $49,900, and goes out to at $49,900 to FY 2020. And that's from the Corporation Business and Professional Licensing Division.
Thank you. Ms. Wilson?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move CS for House Bill number 328, Labor and Commerce / C from committee with individual recommendations. And attached fiscal note.
Object for discussion.
Objection for discussion. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really appreciated all the The dialogue is certainly the dialogue that was concerned about its structure, but I think we've given them a model piece of legislation. They can increase the requirements for hours, and they can go forward and govern themselves. I think it's appropriate, and I think it's I think we've the sponsor's done a good job, and I remove my objection.
I think you're right, you know, and I think that's probably the growing pains with every new board that goes through here, and as you stated earlier, for allowing them to govern in themselves is, you know, self-control. I think we all support that. Is there any further objections? Representative Guttenberg removed his objection. No further objection. Bill 1 or 328 moves from committee. We'll take a brief 80s while we set up for the next one. I see we have a CS for House Bill number 293, State Affairs, version / P, in front of us. And we have staff to Representative Wilson. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Sherry Klein, staff to Representative Peggy Wilson, District 33. Representative Wilson introduced this bill to add an option to our primary license plates. One of her constituents talked about how many compliments he received back in the 70s and 80s when he had the bear license plate. It was Alaska's bicentennial plate and was readily recognized down south as a symbol of Alaska. A recent poll at carinsurance.com shows that our plain yellow license plate is one of the least favored in all 50 states. And I went online to double check last night, and we're still 48 out of 50. We think that the bear is pretty symbolic of our whole state and will give residents an option as a primary plate. We talked to past commissioner of the Department of Public Safety, and he mentioned that the main reason the bear was chosen back in 1975 was that it represents something that all of Alaska has in common. As all of you probably know, there are bears all the way from southeast up to the Arctic, Kodiak Island, through Fairbanks, out into the interior. Everywhere. That's one thing we all have in common in Alaska. The current version also includes changing the wording in statute regarding specialty plates for active and former firefighters and EMTs. It will remove the specific words active and former from the plates. The purpose for doing this is so that all firefighters and EMTs, whether they are volunteer or paid, former or retired, have the opportunity to be recognized for their dedication and service. It will also lower the years of service requirement for the former or retired from 10 years to 5. This bill will not change the requirements in any way for active firefighters or EMTs. And lastly, the cost for the firefighter EMT specialty plates will then all be the same at $30. We have had support from the Alaska chapter of the National Volunteer Fire Council and our local fire departments and volunteer fire departments.
Thank you. And I'll state, you know, I had worked on the firefighter license plate earlier, and one of the opportunities that would be provided there is if you, the firefighter and EMT rolls up to an accident, for other personnel, state troopers, to maybe easily, more easily identify that person as a medical personnel. I think got it on their license plate. They should have a placard in their window or an identification card also, but this may be an easier way to help identify that. And they do have to have a certain requirement for hours to have that license. Representative Har Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It, you know, I'm not normally a fan of license plate bills. I think you've probably heard this a lot in the building, that, but I kind of like this one. And I've had, when I told people we were hearing the bare license plate bill today, a lot of people said to me, ooh, ooh, pass that one, I want one. So I'm very supportive of this license plate
ooh,
bill.
Ooh, huh?
I'm very supportive of the license plate bill. One question and then one request. And the question is, I know this isn't a sponsor statement, I just want to be clear on the record that the intent is that we would now have two official license plates and individuals at the same basic cost could choose which of the two that they wanted. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Holmes, absolutely. This is just for the primary plate, not touching the specialty as far as the bear. And so
we do have DMV available if you need to ask them.
Okay, wonderful. And we'll just put that on the record when we get Amy up here. But okay, yeah, I'll hold my other comments or questions for Amy.
Thank you. No other questions for the sponsor? Representative Wilson, you want to go through the fiscal note?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have one fiscal note, 328-14, OMB 2348, 2015, 3,200, 2016 to 2020, it's at a zero, and that's provided by the Division of Motor Vehicles.
Thank you. Any questions on the fiscal note? Questions from the sponsor? Rule of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, did we want to get the one question answered by Representative Holmes with Ms. Erickson? Not that I wouldn't be happy to do it, but trying to keep everybody happy at the table.
We have Joanne Olson or Colleen Greenshields from DMV off now.
We also have the director right here.
We have the director right here.
Oh, well.
There we go.
They didn't tell me that. I haven't met the new director yet.
Erickson, Division of Motor Vehicles Director. Ms. Klein answered correctly. It wouldn't change the fees whatsoever. It's just an alternate plate that we give to every new license plate earner.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may ask one. Or
go ahead.
Not so much a question.
Representative Holmes.
So I did a little informal polling of people. And I know it says in the bill that it should be designed after the old bear license plate, but of course without the bicentennial. And I said to people, what do you think? Should it be? They said, well, we like it because it's kind of retro. And I said, well, do we want to leave it retro? Would you want it updated? They said, oh, no, please leave it retro. Just putting that little request in as you design the new plate, that people kind of like the retro feel of the old plate.
Updated.
They're old school.
We're trying to make it not look like a gopher from afar.
Please don't make it look like a gopher.
I used to have a T-shirt where this guy standing with a rock in front of him.
Mr. Chairman, would you like a motion
we'll
here?
We'll probably stay away from that one. Is there any other further questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move CS for House Bill number 293, State Affairs, /P, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Any objection? Seeing no objection, bill moves from committee. Members, please stay present because we need to have six on this one.
Yeah, don't go.
And with that, we will adjourn for the day.